and welcome to Pet Matters on West Kent Radio. I'm Mona Cheney, and today we'll be talking about keeping our pets safe through the summer and the holidays. From barbecues to toxic foods, stress, and injury, as there are risks that we don't think about. Joining me is Joe Sutherland, who will be helping me to understand how we can make celebrations safer for our pets.
Hello, Joe. How are you doing?
Hi, it's good to be here.
We have an exciting topic to talk about. After talking about aging, talking about nutrition, talking about pet ownership, we're talking about the holidays, and not just the holidays you go away with or to, but just the holidays we have here at home, the summer holidays, the winter holidays, the spring holidays. So let's start off with summer, because summer is everyone's favorite times. Summer, we have lots of barbecues. What are some of the hazards that we should all look out for? Because we all think that our pet is going around enjoying themselves, but do we really, really look out for their safety?
Yes. I mean, barbecues, picnics, that sort of thing, but particularly barbecues at home. We have more people. I think this applies to all the sort of holiday celebrations, is that we're going to have more visitors. And not every pet is going to enjoy that. Even if they seem to be coping, they may on some level be getting quite stressed, particularly the feline family members. So it's important that we make sure that people visiting the house, especially those that are not pet owners, are aware of the sorts of foods that might be poisonous or damaging or, you know, dangerous to the pets, so they can all keep an eye and make sure that that's not going to be something that's going to come up as a problem. So I have a mixed bag of friends, and I just make sure those that are not pet minded, no chocolate, no grapes, and certainly barbecue skewers and corn on the cobs, they need to be well out the way. So yes, that's the summer. And the fireworks, we have them all year round pretty much now. Obviously, you've got New Year's and the classic fireworks night, and that can be very worrying for a lot of pets, even your rabbits and guinea pigs in the garden. So the best thing to do is to make sure that your pets are, think about how you're going to protect them from the impact of that and reduce the interaction and keep them safe as well. And you can also speak to a qualified, preferably accredited behaviorist or trainer if you're dealing with any sort of sound phobias. A behaviorist is the right place to go for that.
Excellent. It's about safeguarding.
Yes.
Let's talk about the iconic, I would call them, Hallmark days. You've got Easter, you've got Halloween, and you've got Christmas. Easter, you might buy a bunny. I would say it's not good to buy a bunny if you don't have that bunny preparation, as much as a black hat for Halloween or even a puppy for Christmas. What advice would you have for parents who want to provide an animal for their child or loved one? And they're just not ready yet.
Absolutely. You're completely right. Preparation is important no matter what time of year you're getting your pet. And we can all get swept up in the excitement of, you know, getting rabbits or maybe chickens for Easter. And it's all very cute. And actually, we're so sidetracked with visitors and entertaining. And there's a lot of chocolate around, which is really dangerous for most pets. And actually, it can take away from your fun and your children's fun of that event. So what I would suggest people did is, rather to giving the pet at that exact time, is to look at celebrating, offering a photo or a picture of the pet that is going to be coming, and then enjoy going shopping together, making a list of all the things. And that can be part of the joy of Easter or Christmas. And then having that pet come in when you're going to have finished your main entertaining, so they can be settled and you can socialize them and they are ready for those visitors. And when you do have visitors at that time in the future, it's really important to provide what I call a safe haven. It's a term that lots of behaviorists and trainers will use. And that's a place, it can be a covered dog crate with a blanket, the doors open, or somewhere under the stairs, or, you know, a bed that's well out of the way, that everybody knows we do not touch the pet when they're in that bed. So that animal can know they want to socialize, they come out of the bed. If they're in the bed, they're going to get left alone. And that can prevent all sorts of stress on lower levels. But in the more serious end, we're going to prevent the chance of there being any injuries from bites as well.
Nice. And it takes off the stress of everyone else having to welcome a new puppy with company as well in the home.
Yes. I think that's puppies are going to, literally, you can't take your eyes off them. Kittens, they're going to be in that Christmas tree. They're going to be eating the tinsel. You're going to be down the vets with a big vet bill, and it's all very serious and no fun at all. There are things, of course, you can do if you really do want to get a pet. You know, things like when both my dogs actually arrived early December. So we made sure that we had a lot less decorations that year, just one tree, one corner, and it was protected with a big fire guard. So there are things that you can do to keep it safe. And we cut back on our entertaining that year and prepared people with all our rules and what we were doing with the puppies so they could support rather than hamper our progress. But ideally, just take the stress away and keep the enjoyment factor with having that fun shopping outing and then getting the pet a little bit after the main season.
Do you also recommend, in the event that someone did receive a pet early or right just before the holiday, to isolate the pet entirely, or would you recommend that the pet mingled? I mean, what is your recommendation in that sense? Because sometimes people just aren't prepared to do it. Sometimes people want to meet the pet and so on.
Yes, I think short and sweet would be the answer to that. Not large groups of people in one go. Maybe have the pet in a separate room with a family member it knows well from your core family that's living in that house, and be prepared to take shifts with core members. And then people can come in, say hello, and maybe we can bring out the pet early on or later in the evening when there's less people there. You know, it's calmer for a very short period of time, and you can actually make that bet work for you. You know, give people some treats to give the puppy, not too many, of course. And, you know, you can make that part of your treatment, but it would be very short and sweet and not overwhelming. What I work with puppies generally, and what I advise, certainly with Minty's litter, we played a lot of sounds before they, so things like fireworks, even the sounds of parties, loud music, all those sorts of things, they were desensitized. They were introduced to before, just as a sound, before they even were put in the situation where they're going to be with the people and the movements and the smells and everything else. So it's important to do it gradually. And in this context, as I say, little and often, if you find yourself in that situation, keep it short and sweet.
Excellent. 'Tis a season to be jolly.
Indeed.
Thank you very much, Jo.
You've been listening to Pet Matters here on West Kent Radio. I'm Mona Shanae. A little preparation, understanding, and safe space can make all the difference to our pets. Whether it's summer, Christmas, or any celebration in between. Joanna, thanks very much for joining me. And remember, our pets depend upon us to keep them safe. Until next time, take care of yourselves and your four-legged family members.